morning. I'd like to open this hearing of the subcommittee, Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means. And we are here today to work four different bills. We will start out with House Bill 3412. And you want to fill us in?
Yes. Co-Chairman Rowe.
And by the way, I open a public hearing and work session on 3412. Go ahead.
Co-Chairman Rowe, members of the committee. House Bill 3412 comes to you from the House Committee on Education. It creates an 11-member task force on assessments of children who are deaf or hard of hearing, charged with analyzing and making recommendations for the framework for assessing deaf and hard of hearing children to determine children's competencies in language and literacy skills to ensure successful access to the kindergarten curriculum in an equitable manner. The bill specifies the membership and the duties of the task force. The task force must present its finding and recommendation to the legislature by January 1st, 2018. The bill takes effect on passage, and the task force sunsets on June 30th, 2019. The fiscal impact is on the Department of Education. The Department of Education is required to serve on the task force and to provide staffing support. The Department of Education anticipates reprioritizing duties and responsibilities of existing staff and budget to support this task force. It estimates that the cost of hiring ASL interpreters for the meetings will be approximately $5,473, which it can absorb in its current budget.
Are there questions? Okay, thank you very much. Let's call then our first witnesses, Chad Ludwig and Gerald Fleming.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. Hi. My name is Chad Ludwig, president of the Oregon Association of the Deaf. And like the LFO person just explained, it's about $5,500 for accommodations that we need to make those meetings happen. And we need all of that help to make that happen. So we request that you accept the -3 amendment to this bill. Thank you very much. Hi, my name is Gerald Fleming, Jr., as state representative of the Deaf Grassroots Movement of Oregon, with over 690 members. The members do want this bill to be passed as soon as possible because it does benefit children of the future, and $5,500 is peanuts, quote unquote. So hopefully you will all vote on this bill and it'll pass. Thank you.
We never refer to peanuts. We refer sometimes to budget dust. Thank you. Are there questions for the witnesses? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just a minute. Is there anybody else that wanted to testify on 3412? Hearing none, we'll go to work session. Go ahead.
Okay. Co-Chairman Rowe, Co-Chair Smith-Warner, members of the committee, there is a -3 amendment, and this amendment adds a task force member, a school psychologist with experience working with deaf and hard of hearing students. It also specifies that when analyzing and recommending the framework for assessment, the task force must be impartial with regard to the language taught. And it also requires that the chairperson be a non-voting member of the task force and may be elected from among the voting or non-voting members of the task force. And the -3 amendment does not change the fiscal determination.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Co-Chair.
I move adoption of the -3 amendment to House Bill 3412.
Any questions? Any objections? -3 is adopted. Madam Co-Chair.
Oh, you don't.
Okay.
Okay. I'll just move, Mr. Chair, House Bill 3412 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Any questions? Any objections? And we need carriers.
I would love to carry it to the full.
Madam Co-Chair will carry it to the full.
And I believe Representative Sanchez is the lead sponsor for
yes.
the House floor.
Representative Sanchez to the House floor and Senate floor. Senator Thompson.
Thanks.
Okay. If some of you feel like we're hurrying a little bit this morning, that's because Madam Co-Chair and I have been trying to find time when we can meet with the big co-chairs for a long time, and if we get done with this meeting, that's when it's going to happen. Okay, with that, I will open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 231.
Okay. Co-chairs, member of the committee, Senate Bill 231 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Human Service and the Senate Committee on General Government. It establishes a 15-member task force on student mental health support charged with examining the impact of mental health issues and substance abuse disorders on college recruitment, retention, and graduation. It takes effect on the 91st day after the end of this legislative session, and it sunsets on December 31st, 2018. The Higher Education Coordinating Commission, HEC, is required to provide support to the task force, and they estimate that the cost of producing the report, doing the research to do the report, to be about $134,000. And there is a -A3 amendment, which removes the four legislative members of the task force, bringing the task force membership down from 15 to 11. The amendment also requires that OHA also provide staff support to the task force along with HEC. It specifies that HEC would provide the administrative meeting support, and OHA would collaborate with HEC to provide research writing and other technical assistance in producing the report. And there is a -A4, which just adds $134,000 general fund appropriation to HEC to fund this support of this task force. And it's expected that HEC and OHA will enter into an interagency agreement to handle the cost of providing research writing and other technical assistance to the task force.
Questions of staff?
I guess I got one.
Senator Thompson.
It just looked like the range of the cost was a little broad, anywhere from $13,000 to $299,000. If I was doing a business and I asked for estimates, that wouldn't work for me. So how do you get that?
Co-chairs, Representative Senator Thompson. That's what we worked with the two agencies to do, and that's why there's the amendment to add OHA into it, because HEC was saying that if they had to do the work on their own and they have to hire a consultant, the small range was just they would do the work on their own and try to absorb it, and the larger range was hiring a consultant to work with the task force. And so that's why we added OHA, because now with OHA they would, the cost of the consultant would be less.
134. Yeah,
thanks.
Okay, additional questions? Representative Parrish.
Thank you. What was the purpose of removing legislators from a task force that the legislature is asking for?
Co-chairs, Representative Parrish, that is a question I cannot answer. That was a policy decision.
And Madam Co-Chair, do you have any elucidation as to why the legislators were removed?
I do not. Are we doing a public hearing on this as well?
Yes.
Okay. Perhaps we could check with one of the sponsors while we are doing the public hearing, see if we take an
answer. Okay. We've got a
witness.
We've got a
cause for some concern.
We've got a witness that wants to testify. So, Lena DeMarcus. DeMora.
I see four legislative names on this thing. We could just make them do it.
I think they were probably asked, and one of the conditions has been with task forces, they have to have volunteers, and maybe they didn't volunteer. So
they started in the original bill, and then takes them out. So it doesn't specifically name who had to be in the task force. It just says that there will be some of us there.
Maybe this young lady can help us.
Appreciate that.
Please identify yourself and go ahead.
Absolutely. My name is Lena DeMorais, and I'm a student at Lynn Benton Community College. Chair, would you like me to address the question about the legislators first?
Yes.
Yes, when we met with Senator Gelser, who is a chief sponsor of the bill, she indicated that a lot of legislators get bogged down with task forces, and since what we're looking for is more of an expert opinion on mental health, that this would alleviate the burden on the legislature.
Okay. Any questions?
Oh, okay.
I don't have
I get
a question.
I get it.
You mean we don't want to work during the interim? Is that how that goes?
Or somebody didn't.
Somebody doesn't. Yeah, that actually gives me heartburn. I mean, we're paid year-round to be here, and I feel like if we're going to propose task force, then it's incumbent on us to actually participate in them. So just from the standpoint that we actually, when policy gets back, we understand the why behind that policy, because at least some of us were sitting on there, on that task force, and that then you also have sort of champions in the building to help move those policies forward when you have good policy. And I've sat on a lot of task force, and I've got three children, and I still managed to make it to 90% of those meetings. And so I think it's critical not to exclude us if the legislature is going to create task force, and I can't support the A3 or A4, whichever one's going to do that. I don't love that. Although I appreciate the purpose behind the task force. I think that's important.
Okay. Why don't we let the witness finish?
Yeah. So if you don't mind, I'll go ahead with my prepared testimony. So as I stated, my name is Lena DeMorais, and I'm a student at Lynn Benton Community College. I'm also a type 1 bipolar. So even though I do see my condition as intrinsic part of who I am, it doesn't come without its challenges. I struggle with many aspects of life that my neurotypical peers often take for granted. Some nights are spent awake fighting thoughts of self-harm and worthlessness. Some days I can't make it to class because the thought of even leaving my house is terrifying and unbearable. And almost every moment of my life is spent battling crippling anxiety, which is exhausting. These are the kinds of struggle that often prevent neurodivergent students like myself from succeeding in higher education. To better understand what factors in students' lives may be influencing their academic performance, Lynn Benton Community College conducted a survey on its student body in the spring of 2013. Within that survey, there was a section devoted to assessing the stressors and mental health issues that students were experiencing. They were asked to select the issues that have impacted their college performance the most in the previous 12 months. The results, while shocking to some, are of no surprise to those of us whose existence is marred by struggles with mental health and general well-being. While the entirety of the survey is worthy of attention, there are a few statistics that I think are especially important to share right now. For starters, in contrast to the 1 in 4 statistic we hear thrown around when discussing mental illness, the LBCC survey found that close to half of our surveyed population, around 41%, felt depression so severe they found it difficult to function, and 51% experienced overwhelming anxiety. But perhaps the most concerning statistic was the fact that while almost 11% of those surveyed reported seriously considering suicide, alarmingly less than 8% of all respondents had actually received mental health services from colleges, counseling, or health services. I myself have attempted college 4 times now and failed 3 out of the 4 times. I learned in 2014 that sometimes life doesn't stop just because I'm in crisis. In September of that year, I was incarcerated in an immigration detention center in Texas. I was released on a Wednesday, returned to Oregon on a Friday, and was in class on Monday to begin fall term. I had no idea how the trauma would affect me, and I was lucky enough to have a professor trained in mental health first aid who directed me to the proper resources. These past few years have been the most successful of my academic career, and the biggest difference right now is that I have a support system through my school Center for Accessibility Resources. The tools and skills I've learned through these accommodations provided through those services have allowed me to be more successful academically and professionally than honestly I ever thought possible. And I think that's something all Oregon students deserve. However, what I learned through experience, I have lost 2 friends to suicide in the past 6 months. Both were students. When we created a crisis intervention task force, we discovered that the majority of the student body that had been affected by the passing of these individuals had no clue what resources even existed that could help them through that crisis, which is when we brought in counselors. And I'm happy to say that Lynn Benton Community College has done a phenomenal job as far as making these resources available, and that's one of the reasons why this task force is so important, because it would allow us to pull resources and information, discover what's working, what's not, and how we can help students experiencing severe psychological distress, since so many rely on health services through campus for one reason or another. So that's why I urge you to pass Senate Bill 231, because we need this.
Thank you. Are there questions of the witness? Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Appreciate you coming down today. And we'll move forward. Is there anybody else that wanted to be heard on Senate Bill 231? Okay, if not, we'll go to work session and the Dash 3 amendment first.
Yes, and co-chairs, the Dash 3 is a reminder. removes the four legislative members and adds OHA SS staff support for the task force.
Okay. Questions about the Dash 3 amendment? Madam Co-Chair?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash A3 amendment to Senate Bill 231.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Are there questions, objections? Representative Parrish objects. Motion carried. Dash A4.
And the Dash A4 just adds the appropriation for the Higher Education Coordinating Commission.
Okay, it's the fiscal.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash A4 amendment to Senate Bill 231.
Okay, this is the fiscal.
Yes.
Questions? Objection? Motion.
Oh, to the motion?
No, no, just as the A4.
Oh, A4, yes.
Okay, she's going to object to that. Yeah. Representative Parrish objects. A4 is adopted. Madam Co-Chair?
Ms. Chair, I move Senate Bill 231 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Again, questions? Objection?
No. Oh, she has a question.
Not question, comment.
Comment.
Before we get to objections. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just do want to reflect Representative Parrish's concern about legislative members. And while there were enough other things in this amendment that I thought were important to get on, I would like to say for the record that I believe that there's no reason that we could not have a that a legislator could be on this. And I agree with your, I think it is important to have some legislative representation on this. I also, in looking through this, I understand that the focus is on our public colleges and universities, but I also don't think it would be a bad thing to have, there's a whole bunch of private colleges and universities in this state as well. And any opportunity we can have, I'd love to kind of give that guidance to the formation of the committee, that whether it's an ad hoc member or whether you have an ad hoc legislative member and an ad hoc member from a private university or college, I think that would add a lot to this, because these crises are certainly not limited to our public universities. So I would just like to give that, I would just add that legislative intent to the record for this bill.
Senator Roblin?
Yeah, and I agree entirely that the importance of this issue and to have the conversation, I hope that we can, and some legislators decide to get involved. I do believe that this is one of those kind of task forces that may not lead to any kind of legislation that need, that schools can do the stuff that's necessary. Sometimes they just need the research to show what's the best way to do it. And, you know, we heard from a person from Lumbenton saying that they have done things pretty well. If we can get information in really good ways from this deal that can go out to all those universities, including the privates, we may start seeing a change in how they prioritize stuff and recognize this is a really bigger problem, and they start solving their own problem. It doesn't take legislation to do that. And I hope that as this goes on and the information comes out, that we do get a report back and some other stuff, and we can ask HEC for that kind of information and the health department when it's over. So thanks.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you. So I don't disagree with the sort of necessity of the topic. I do have concerns that most of our public universities have a psychology department already, and they're teaching these classes. So, you know, the fact that something can't be more groundswell without the legislature funding it, this is a pretty expensive task force, then to sort of abdicate legislative responsibility of that task force, I don't, just philosophically, if you're going to put forward a bill to do a task force, then you should probably participate in that task force if it's your legislation, and not say, hey, we want to back ourselves out because we're too busy in the interim. Again, we're paid for 24 months of our term, so I don't buy that. And but especially given that there is expertise already on most of our university campuses in their own departments that teach these coursework, and I'm a little bothered by the fact that we have to fund it, and given that we're raising tuition, we're putting other costs on students, and money's kind of keeps getting carved out of the higher ed budget to do these things, or out of general fund to do these things, when I feel like this is one that, it's a customer service thing for me, right? You pay money and tuition to go to the campus, and if you understand that your customer has a need, you work internally to try to fix that need, and I just don't know that the legislature, you know, fund an expensive task force that may result in nothing, could result in something good, but again, I just don't like us abdicating our authority and responsibility And if we're asked for these things, we should participate in them.
Additional discussion? Okay, the motion is to pass Senate Bill 231 as amended by the dash 3 and dash 4 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Anything else? Objections to the motion? Representative Parrish? Motion carried. Okay, who would like to carry this to full? Senator Roblin to full, Senator Gelser to the Senate floor, and how about Representative?
I'm looking real quick to see who else is
Evans,
on the.
Evans, I think.
Evans,
yes. Yeah.
Evans
yes.
To
He's
the House
the
floor.
Yes, he is.
Okay, 231 is on its way. Open public hearing.
We
got new staff? Okay, oh yeah.
He gets a
public hearing and work session on House Bill 2763.
Just a public hearing.
Oh, just public hearing related to teachers.
Yes.
Okay. So we're not moving it?
Correct.
Okay. Sorry. Just a public hearing on 2763.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2763 establishes a minimum of 150 public school teachers for which the National Board Certification Fund shall be used to provide assistance with the direct costs of seeking and obtaining National Board Certification, including costs related to participating in a cohort for certification. The Teacher Standards and Practices Commission is directed to waive the renewal fee for educator licenses of educators who are certified by a national professional organization for teaching standards, which is recognized by the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. And no later than April 1st, 2020, the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission is directed to submit a report to the Legislative Assembly regarding National Board certification outcomes and statistics, as well as identifying funding levels necessary to increase the number of teachers who hold National Board certification in the state to 10% of all public school teachers.
Senator Roblin.
Did we lose our quorum?
No, that's all right. We can hold public
hearing.
In the
building.
Oh, that's right.
Public hearing. Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, my start,
Representative
please.
Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, I'm Gene Wisner, State Representative, House District 53. Currently, less than 1% of Oregon's teachers are nationally board certified. In Washington State, 15%. In the state of North Carolina, I had to bring up the numbers, 21%. According to the National Conference of State Legislators, students of National Board Certified Teachers outperform students of non-certified teachers on achievement tests, have stronger writing abilities, better understanding, more capable of abstract thinking. Not encouraging our teachers to obtain it is a clear disadvantage. Over the past few months, we've had several meetings with a variety of stakeholders, including leaders from education agencies, nonprofit groups, lobbyists, National Board certified teachers. Among those have been Dr. Monica Beam, Director of the Teacher Standards and Practice Commission, Heather Anderson, Oregon's 2016 Teacher of the Year. For these meetings, I believe that all the stakeholders support the establishment of a program with the goal of increasing the number of National Board certified teachers. I've also been lucky enough to find a strong supporter and co-chief sponsor in the forum. Co-chair, I was going to say in the forum. Sponsor, Co-Chair Smith Warner, among others. So I please urge you to pass this bill. I think it's the right step. We can get teachers board certified, and I think we'll see a definite positive outcome. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thanks, Gene. Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, for the record, my name is Barbara Smith Warner, and I have the honor to represent House District 45, which is Northeast Portland, Maywood Park, and Park Rose in the Oregon State House of Representatives. I am thrilled to be here with my co-chief Representative Wisnett on this issue. This is one of those things that was brought to me by that we encounter in our life. My daughter had a teacher in fifth grade who was one of those life-changing teachers. It was she just was able to bring out just a joy in learning and in reading and creating in my daughter that she had never found before. And as I got to know that teacher over the course of the year and she found out I was a state representative, she started talking to me about National Board Certification and what a difference it had made to her and for her in her career. She was a longtime teacher who had not gotten involved in board certification until she was almost 20 years into her teaching career, because as she was teaching, she had a life, she had kids of her own. National Board Certification is a strenuous, significant commitment by a teacher to really dive into what they do, how they do it, how they interact with their students, and how they can really do the best for all of their students. So it's a well done program. As Representative Wisnett mentioned, some of the significant folks in our education system here who are advocates for it. And so she talked about how there were time issues with her ability, but there were also money issues that kept her from being able to go through the program. So we started talking about, and I want to call out also former co-chair of this committee, Betty Comp, who is also a strong advocate for this and had done some work promoting board certification in the past. And so we're trying to move that forward. As Representative Wisnett said, there are other states that have more teachers. And one of the reasons is, and this is not something that we deal with in this bill, but I would feel remiss not to mention, in some of those states, there are financial incentives for teachers who are board certified. It's part of the, whether it's part of their contracts or part of the state legislation, that they get paid more, not only if they're board certified, and then also sometimes if they're board certified and teach in highly disadvantaged schools. So there's many ways that you can go about incentivizing, trying to help and support teachers to do this. And so because of the situation we're in, we decided to start with at a smaller level and just say, what can we do to help support the teachers in the getting it? And that is the helping to pay for the programs, as well as there are some really great support groups, because the best way to do National Board Certification is not to do it in a vacuum, not just to be one teacher in a school who's plugging away at this in your off hours, but to have other teachers in your school or your district who you can meet with collectively and share ideas about what's working for you, what you're learning out of this. So I want to call out the Oregon Education Association, that, and I'm blanking on the name of the program that they run, but they promote this to bring together cohorts of folks who are going after this certification. So what we hope to do here is to help encourage, give some financial support to those teachers who are seeking the board certification. And I believe it was Representative Wisnett's idea about waiving the re-registration fee. Now it's a small impact. You only re-license every 3 to 5 years. It's only, I believe, about $140 for the standard thing. And at the same time, it's a nice message to say that this is the quality of this, it's another small way that we can encourage these teachers in doing this. So I thank you all for your consideration and happy to take any questions.
Questions? Thank you very much. Is there anybody else here that wanted to testify on House Bill 2763? Not seeing anybody rush up. We will close the public hearing on 2763 and go to a work session on House Bill 2998 that we heard yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, we had to, Mr. Chair, carry it over from yesterday. House Bill 2998 requires community colleges and public universities to collaboratively establish foundational curricula so community colleges can transfer academic credits to a public university. There is a difference in the recommendation between yesterday and today. Today's recommendation is for the A5 amendment, which appropriates $220,490 in general fund in the 17-19 biennium to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission for staffing costs related to the bill. The difference is in how we are going to be budgeting for the two positions that are required for staffing, which is a operations and policy analyst and a research analyst. Originally, yesterday, the recommendation was to have them staff for 12 months. Today, the recommendation is for 23 months, so they can have a longer period of time to implement the provisions of the bill. So there's a little bit extra cost associated with benefits along with that.
Okay, so we'll start with the -5 amendment, Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the -A5 amendment to House Bill 2998.
Okay, and this is fiscal, and looks like it's $220,000. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I wanted to put on the record that this is this funding is specifically for the HEC and not the four-year universities or the community colleges at this point. But again, as we've talked about it, I support this financial and the bill. Thank you.
Yeah, dash five makes that very clear that it's going to HEC and it's an amount of $220,000. Additional discussion, Senator Roblin.
Also supportive. It was hard for me to understand that a 50-year problem could get solved in less than 12 months. So I will give them the little extra time to try to solve a problem that's been here since the inception of community colleges.
And it's 23 months because they figured they probably wouldn't have anybody hired by the 1st of July, which is in about 3 days.
Okay. Just feels that way. So,
is there any objection to the dash five amendment? Okay, dash five amendment is adopted. Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2998 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think this is going to be a historical bill for this body and this committee, and appreciate all the people that worked on it from the universities and community colleges and all the staff led by Representative Johnson.
Yep. Representative Parrish.
Thanks. I'm also excited about this bill because I feel like students are incurring a lot of debt that they don't need to incur simply because our systems aren't talking to each other. And that's also at the K-12 side for college admissions. We confer a diploma and kids think that's going to get them into one of our Oregon universities, and that might not always be the case. Hopefully maybe they can also, even though that's not a directive in this bill, maybe put a little eyes on that as well. And then I hope when they come back, they have solutions and real solutions that we can move on so that we're reducing the amount of time it is taking to get out of our Oregon institutions. I feel like 6 years to get a bachelor's degree seems quite high, unless there's truly mitigating circumstances for kids, and I can't imagine that as many kids who it's taking 6 years have those kinds of life mitigating circumstances that are preventing them from that. And comparatively to other states, we seem very high on that, and I think the credit transfer piece is a big chunk of that.
Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope that in this 23 months that we find those 30 credits. My goal is that there will be 90 credits, and I think everybody else's. I hope as they have this conversation, they don't just end at finding those 30 that they can all agree on, but really have a conversation about how do we get other blocks, whether it's programs or whatever, so that a person coming out of a community college who's taken and graduated with 90 credits starts the university with 90 credits. It would be, you know, having had that opportunity myself in Washington, I really believe it was the right thing. Now, there are times when you can take courses that aren't going to qualify. I understand that. Don't have any problem with that. But I would like the students to know if they take these courses, it's going to provide them the credits when they go to the university. And I hope that conversation continues, and this bill is the start of a really great opportunity to get these aligned.
And I taught advanced high school students for over 20 years, and so I had the opportunity to advise them on where they go next. And I actually advised my students to go to community college for a couple of reasons. One is it's less expensive, and secondly, their survey classes, especially in their freshman, sophomore year, are going to be smaller.
Yep.
And actually taught by professors, not by teaching assistants, which is often the case in the big universities. And the problem is, though, if they go to the community college and get their credits and then find that they're not all transferable, they're not all, when they move on to the university, that's a real problem. Hopefully this bill will move in the direction of fixing that problem, which should have been fixed a long time ago, I think. Okay. So have we got a motion? We've got a motion. Is there any objections to the motion? carried. And we need carriers.
How about WISNET for the full committee? Is that all right?
You're on full Ways and Means, Gene? Okay. Gene will carry it to the full and to the House.
No, Representative Johnson.
Representative Johnson to the House. Okay. And I'll be happy to carry this to the Senate.
Okay. Perfect.
It's on its way. Anything more to come before this committee?
Not today, Mr. Chair. Next week, you guys are going to have full agendas all week long.
We're okay. So Monday.
Cramming them in.
Catch-up time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's catch-up time. Not our fault. We've been doing all the work they let us do.
That's true.
Well, they had that special committee, too.
Well, that did get in our way.
Yeah.
But it was an important committee. Still is. Are you guys still working in the tax committee?
No.
Not today.
Okay.
Not today.
I think that committee's done for the year.
We'll see.
That could be.
I think so.
Never say never, Chuck.
We will see you all on Monday, and we are adjourned.
Have fun in your other meeting.
Jefferson's.
Have fun in your other meeting.
Jefferson's.
And we are adjourned.